there something behind you? No, there are many of them.
All right.
So you cannot do it. Okay, you start immediately.
You're ready, right?
Can I meet you, sir? What's your name?
My name is Kavi Chandra Swami.
From?
Born in the USA in this life. Now I go everywhere. I don't have any country.
Can you tell me your name? Sorry.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Can you tell me your antecedent into Hare Krishna consciousness?
How I got into Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Well, it's actually, we understand from the philosophy of the soul, it's a long process over many lifetimes. But in this lifetime, I somehow or other got interested in spiritual things and looking for understanding of God, and then I found. Then I found things. Found the met the Hare Krishna people, read the books, and got into it.
When was that?
1971.
In U.S.?
Yeah.
How has it been since then?
Tucson, Arizona.
How? Can you expatiate on that?
Huh?
How has it been?
How has it been wonderful since then. That's why we're here, because it's nice. It's very good.
Can you tell me the history of Hare Krishna consciousness in U.S.?
Huh?
The history of Hare Krishna.
History in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's documented a lot. You know, we have one book that really covers it. Maybe we have a copy to give you. But in 1965, our spiritual master went to America. Previously, there were many people who read Bhagavad Gita in America, but they didn't get Krishna consciousness because the Bhagavad Gita commentaries weren't complete. So like famous Americans like Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, and they read Bhagavad Gita and they actually understood a lot of philosophy, but they went off by themselves and meditation kind of people. So he came in 1965 and he started chanting and inviting people, and gradually many people joined. In 1966 in New York they registered the society, and more and more young people joined, and then he went to San Francisco, 1967, and in San Francisco at that time was the big time for hippies, and the hippie people, many were looking for religion, actually spiritual, and many, many joined at that time. And then from there went to London, went to, you know, and all of a sudden within 10 years the whole world was, you know, we had centers all over the place.
So what is Krishna consciousness? What is it?
Krishna is the name for God.
Yeah.
God has many, many names, and every language he has more than one name even. So in Sanskrit language he has many. Krishna means literally the all attractive, all wonderful, and or the topmost bliss, happiness. So Hare Krishna, consciousness. Krishna means consciousness of God. That everything is coming from God, whether it looks good or bad to us, it's all coming from God. Nothing is separate from God, that's Krishna consciousness. The thinking of Krishna at every moment, ultimately, that's the ideal.
How do you get your convert?
Hmm?
How do you get your convert?
We don't get converts. We just get people to join.
How?
Just like we have centers, we have temples, we go out chanting, we give books, and some people come and join us.
You have been in Nigeria for so many times now. I mean, you visited Nigeria.
I don't know how many times.
Yeah. What's your assessment of Krishna's activities in Nigeria?
Well, they're picking up at the moment. Krishna's activities, everything is Krishna's activity. Krishna is in control of everything, but our movement's activities in Nigeria, we'd like to do much more, but we're working on it. We're trying to reach out to more people. We're trying to get more books imported. so we can educate people more. We have a lot of friends in different places, universities in many different places, and but we, you know, we have a long ways to go, because most of the people, even though they say they believe in God and they go to church, we're not talking about just believing in God. That's like, because they don't follow God's laws. They don't follow their own religion. So we're not trying to change people from Christianity to Hare Krishna, or from Muslim to Hare Krishna, but we want to change people from sinful to really spiritual. Most people are being misled in the name of religion and just doing all kinds of sinful activities. And that's what causes all the problems in the world. Whatever we do, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
You cannot avoid, so if people are doing something violent to someone, there'll be violence more.
Food for Life is a part of the movement.
Yeah, we started that because we have spiritual food, and we want to distribute it. We want to, because we offer to God, and this food becomes spiritual. And here, of course, we found a lot of people don't have much food, so, but all over the world, and we have this, we call it Food for Life, but this is for real life, for spiritual life.
Is this not a way of enticing people to join Krishna?
It's one of the ways. We want people to know, you know, about us. That's why we dress funny. This dress, we don't consider it funny, but it attracts attention. But we're not just trying to get people. We'd like to get many people to join us, but we're trying to help people, whether they join us or not. If people are saying, you know, that they're Christian, but if they would actually follow their teachings of Lord Jesus, then we'd be happy. They don't have to join us.
So that's why you dress for it.
We dress like this because we find it very comfortable, but also it's a way of advertising. Just like the police wear a uniform, and they know you're a police, right? The priest usually wears some kind of collar, and people know he's a priest. So this dress lets people know we're Hare Krishnas, so that we can attract attention. Otherwise, nobody will know. We don't have the money to put these big signboards out on the highway and everything, like some churches do.
Well, this Food for Life will be paying. How do you get sponsors? I mean,
Food for Life?
Food for Life, I mean. How do you get sponsors for the program? Since you want to try and reach as much people as possible. Or do you have any particular people that you are reaching with Food for Life?
You know, I don't stay here, so I don't know exactly. But
no, I want to do to you.
In other countries, you know, we have many people that sponsor it. In some places, the government helps us. In the Soviet Union, the government used to sponsor us a lot. In Chechnya, the government helped us a lot for feeding the people. Other places, we have like Indian people that are our members. They like to help for the Food for Life. Different people contribute. Here, there's quite a few Indian people here that like to support that.
Food for Life, do you target specific set of people?
I don't.
Or is general?
No, because here we're going to the homeless people, we're going to the university for the students. We want to go to everybody.
It's for everybody.
Because it's spiritual food, we want everyone to have it. Even if they're eating other food, we want them to get spiritual food.
Why are you vegetarian?
We eat only what we offer to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and he doesn't eat animal flesh.
God doesn't eat animal flesh?
God does not eat animal flesh, or any kind of flesh, human flesh, or fish flesh, or anything.
How do you know?
Because the scriptures tell us.
Where?
Huh?
Where?
In the Vedic scriptures, there are many places. It's been known for millions of years.
So give me a portion there.
Huh?
Can you go to the portion for me there?
Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. He says what to offer him. Offer me fruit, flower, leaf, you know, vegetable, water, grains. And traditionally in Krishna temples, you know, everybody knows that. It's a common understanding. not, you know, the, one of the main principles of all religion is ahimsa, it's called non-violence. So in order to eat animal flesh, there's a lot of violence involved. Killing is not a, you know, peaceful, nice thing, killing the animal. And nobody wants, in, at least in America, if the animal died a natural death, it's illegal to eat it. You know, you have to kill it. So that's one reason. But that's the secondary reason. For us, the real reason is that we eat only Krishna prasadam, only what's offered to Krishna, and he doesn't eat that. So therefore, we don't eat it either.
What's your message for Nigeria?
Huh?
What's your message for Nigeria?
Message?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should thank God for everything that we have and not complain about what we don't have.
Thank God for
that. Thank God for whatever. Everybody should be checking all the nice things that they have. God has given us everything, air, water, you know, any food we get, our body, our family, many things we enjoy. It's all coming from God, so we should be thanking him for those things. And we should be happy and compassionate, you know, and be merciful and kind to everyone. Because everyone is connected with God. Everyone is, we're all brothers and sisters in a spiritual way.
So how old are you now?
Me, my body?
Yeah.
58.
Hmm? 58. 58. What about your family?
Huh?
I mean your extended family.
My birth family?
Yeah.
My sister is alive and my brother.
Are in the US?
Yeah.
And they are members of Krishna?
A few cousins.
Members of Krishna?
No.
No.
Not members of Hare Krishna.
Why?
Not interested. Favorable, but not joining. Respectful. Not everybody joins Hare Krishna.
Is the religion, is this religion, is it really growing?
Yeah.
Going by our assessment.
Yeah.
How? Well, what are,
it's
what are
growing a lot.
How do you measure that?
Well, we have statistics, actually. I don't have them exactly on hand. I do have them somewhere in a CD, but how many people in some places, we have statistics of how many people are joining us, how many people are participating in different activities that we have, how many books we're selling. We, you know, all these things are counters. In some countries, we've opened so many new temples, like in the Soviet Union, for instance, the previous Soviet Union. We have so many temples, so many members. So they say it's the biggest religion in Russia.
Because it's growing.
Yes, that's just growing.
Your frequent visits.
Here we're not so many members directly, but there's a lot of people that are previously used to live with us that are still practicing. You know, we don't keep track of everybody.
That's one of us.
Another one?
Mm.
Hare Krishna. Welcome.
Let me get on the chair.
Okay.
And I've been calling you.
I just have my
this is your car, so I'm calling you.
Okay, I have my seat. Okay. Let him bring our seat.
Oh, yeah?
Ah, you will join too.
Alright. So
the music thing, I mean,
we don't have statistics like the Jehovah's Witness have, but
the music, I mean, is it part of music is part of worship.
Music is part of life, you know. Music is, everybody has music.
Yeah.
Every human society has music. Even animals have them sometimes. But every human society has music.
Yeah.
And in traditional culture, most of the music was something spiritual. But nowadays it's degraded quite a bit. Nowadays most music is not spiritual. It's just sensual. Or worse, even like America now, right? But in America, even doesn't make the top 40. But there's a huge business of Christian music in America. Huge business. There's bands that are just as popular as any big famous band that tour, but they don't. They're not in the magazines anymore. They have. They're in their own world. But everybody has music. Every religion has music. And so in Vedic culture, which is the original culture which did pervade the whole world, and all the music, all the drama, all the art, it was all spiritual. That's how the mass of people were educated in religion. Not everybody can study books and philosophy, but everyone can watch a drama or join a song fest or something. But if the songs are about God and the drama is about God and the art is about God, that's the way. But nowadays they're using those things to promote everything except God. Isn't it? If you watch this MTV, it's not very spiritual.
Yeah.
Misusing that. In the spiritual world, there's only music, isn't it? You know, kind of mundane and not talking, this thing.
You have to give me, this particular verse that talks about, human being not eating animal.
What is it?
So maybe after the interview,
yeah,
you give me a book
that
talks about human being. I mean, that is not good for human being to eat.
Eat meat. No, yeah. No, I don't know if I have a specific book on that.
Oh, you don't have a specific book.
Well, there are many. I mean, you could look it up in the internet if you want. You'll find a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's medical research. The medical research is showing more and more that, and even the human body, if you compare it to animals. So there's some animals that are carnivores, right? They eat meat. And there's other animals that don't eat meat. And then there's animals that eat both. But mostly so if you compare the human body, the animals that eat meat, the human body is much different. The teeth are different, the intestines, the stomach, everything is different. It's very similar to the animals who don't eat meat. We have flat teeth, the stomach has very weak acid, the intestines are long, many other things also. Many comparisons, many people studied it. I don't have a specific book. Maybe we have one that has some information. Also just for food value and economic value, environmental value. In America, they know the government, there's a book called The Diet for New America. And that book revolutionized after a few years, a 10% increase in vegetarianism. Because he gave all the statistics about the environment, and that really moved a lot of people. With all the pollution that comes from the animal slaughter and all the, you know, so many things, how much water it takes to produce. In America, the way they produce meat, it takes 2,000 pounds, 1 ton of water to produce 1 pound of beef to feed that animal, but it takes only 20 pounds of water to produce 1 pound of wheat.
This hairstyle is traditional style. It's not part of the ways of attracting people.
Yeah, but it's also very practical.
How?
Like we see here, many people shave their head, right?
Yeah.
Or keep very short hair. It's much easier to maintain. This is to identify, you know, so it attracts, it lets people know we're Hare Krishna. But in traditional India, many people have this, not only just Hare Krishna, but the spiritual minded people, they keep this.
Okay.
Right,
for our Krishna consciousness, is a way of attacking?
Yeah, I hope so. Lets people know, but now I see many people, like in Europe or America, they have this haircut, but they never heard of Hare Krishna. It just became a fashion. Even in China, there's one part of China where many people have. It's an ancient thing, you know.
What was the attraction for you in the Hare Krishna consciousness?
What?
You as a person, what was the attraction for you?
What was the attraction? Krishna is all attractive. Krishna means all attractive. So everything attracted me. The first thing was chanting, you know, the chanting, the music.
The chanting and the music.
Yeah. And then the books, the philosophy, and the people that were in it. Because the people in it were really happy.
Mm.
And they were preaching something and they were doing it, and I'd never found that before.
How old were you when you
And they could answer any question. And I never found that before either in a religion. At least I didn't go around to every religion, but I never found, you know, I read a lot of books, but I never found any, you know, real.
So you found the books very attractive?
Yeah.
How old were you when you first came into contact?
24.
24. So how long have you been, I mean, in issue consciousness stuff now?
34 years.
34 years. How would you describe this past 34 years?
Well, it go by pretty fast. Every year goes by faster than the previous one. But it's been a, you know, there's been a lot of interesting things, but it's been a, all of it is very blissful. We're always making, always gaining. Krishna's somehow taken care of me all these years. And I feel like I wish I could do more. We the reason we go to try to proselytize and share it is because we think it's very valuable for people. We're not businessmen, you know, just trying to sell a product and make a profit. We get spiritual profit. We just like to see people understand spiritual principles, which, you know, are in every scripture, but they're not teaching them to the people. You know. Right?
Yeah. Before you got involved in the consciousness, what kind of religion were you practicing?
Religion?
Yeah.
Nothing.
So you were just like that?
No, I was a hippie. I was just, you know, I mean, before I grew up, I went to the church, the Presbyterian church. But there's no practice there. You know, you just go to church.
As a religion?
Yeah. So then I just studied different books. You know, tried to meditate, do yoga, different things. And then I started this. And then I thought, okay, this is great. And the more I studied it, the better it got. I mean, the more you study this, you realize more and more. God is unlimited. See, the soul, and the real thing is that we're all looking for a relationship, right? You want to have a friend, you want to have a wife, you want to have a girlfriend, you want to have children. You want a relationship with someone that you love and they love you. So that's natural, but the topmost relationship is with God. And if we don't have that, then all the other relationships are never satisfied. So therefore people are very frustrated, because they're trying to get the topmost pleasure out of a secondary relationships, and they can't get it. So we have all kinds of what they call domestic violence and, you know, wars and everything. But if people have their relationship with God, then they can also have good relationships with all the other. Right? Makes sense?
It does.
Yeah. Like if you're in a family and you hate your father, what kind of relationship can you have with your brothers? If they love your father, right? And what will your father, you know? So, you know, God is, if we get that relationship, so that's what religion is really about. That's what the Bhagavad Gita says. Krishna says this ancient science of, you know, man's relationship with God, with the Supreme. So as that becomes more and more fixed up, then we become more and more energetic, more happy.
Are you a monk?
Monk? Yeah, that's what they call us.
No, what?
Huh?
I wouldn't buy that. You're a monk.
No, yeah, monkey. No
celibacy.
Celibate, no intoxicate, everything. That, those are basic rules for all of us, if we are serious. You know, even married people, they have children, but otherwise they're not just partying. The human body is not meant for just those things. It's meant for higher purposes.
Ordinarily, the American society is seen, I mean, from this part of the world, from Africa now, we see the American society as one of violence, you know, shooting here and there every day.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
I've never seen a shooting in America. It's on the news a lot.
Excuse, high school.
No, but yeah, they happen.
I mean, they happen.
Happens in every country. But I was watching one study, and one professor did a study of violence in America, and he said what really fascinated him was that in a period of a few years, the actual number of murders had gone down by 20%, and the news coverage of murders had gone up 6 times.
The actual
murders had reduced
by
20%, and the news
coverage
of murders increased by 6 times.
Mm.
6 times. But they seem to focus on that, you know. But I don't know why that's the, you know, like in America you get the news of, you know, Africa's just nothing but wars or starvation and all Muslims are terrorists. You know, different countries promote different things. But in America there's a lot of really religious people there. In every group. We have many, and then the Christian also. There's so many very, you know, sincere people that get married and stay married and, you know, all those things. Have children and take care of them. It's not all like what's on television, you know. That's all work of the merchants to agitate people's minds so they'll buy more things. You know. So, you know, I mean, you should know that much.
Let me ask this question concerning Nigeria now. Nigeria, being a third world country.
Is what?
Being a third world country.
Yeah.
For some years now, we've been agitating for debt relief.
For what?
Debt relief.
Debt relief.
Yeah. You know, it's as if the big bosses up there don't want to oblige all this request. What's your reaction to this?
You know, everybody needs relief. We don't get involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, we have nothing.
I mean, looking at it from the sufferings now.
But, you know, God is in control of everything.
Mm.
So we're all getting what we deserve. So if the people become more and more God conscious, more, you know, properly religious, things will get better.
Mm. So you're advising
And even if there's a debt, they can be happy and they can, you know, but otherwise, just getting that, getting money, getting a new skyscraper building, a new car, not going to solve anybody's problems.
Doesn't bring joy.
Right? Mm. They thought, like in the 80s, right, they got oil and everything's going to be great. What happened? Nigeria was, I heard, quite nice in the 70s. Right? Safe. And people
rich.
Had big agriculture and everything. And the oil, they thought, oh, here we got, you know, didn't work, you know. So the real thing that only works is God consciousness.
Mm.
That's what we're trying to teach. That's why we have all these books and why he's doing so many different programs here, you know, trying to reach out to more and more people.
Mm. Is this your first time out in Nigeria?
No, I've been here many times. I don't keep track. Many times.
What have you found fascinating about the country?
You know, I don't know. Every country is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say it is fascinating that they're a major oil-producing country and it's hard to get gas and they can't fix the roads, you know, in spite of bringing in so many new cars. And, you know, it's interesting to see these things that, you know, most of the people are poor, but there's so much. And natural resources, one of the richest countries in the world.
Mm.
Very opulent country and natural resources, your water and forests and, you know, all these things, agricultural land, but it's not being used. So,
if I may go back a bit, if I may go back a bit, can you tell me more about you? More about you, your country, I mean.
Me?
Yes.
My country? America? I was born there, that's, you know, it's not my country. I was just born there. I have a passport, U.S. That's
about 52 years ago?
58.
58 now.
Yeah, right after World War II. Baby boom. Those were the days when all our parents were determined that their kids would never have one meal without meat.
So it was fun growing up.
They would never suffer like they did.
Mm.
So we grew up in luxury.
You grew up in luxury.
You know, not very luxurious.
But at least in relative times.
Huh?
I mean, in relative times, it was
still
luxury.
Yeah, no problem. Unlimited food and big houses and cars. Mm. still have all the problems that everybody has, though. You still get all the diseases, you still fight with your girlfriend, you know, all the same thing. It doesn't make any difference. You still get sick and can't sleep, and, you know.
How do we solve all these problems?
Huh?
How do we solve all these
problems? Solve the problems.
Yeah.
So some problems, that they're always going to be there, but the solution is, you know, God consciousness. That's what we keep saying. If people really understand that this world is not our permanent place, we're meant to get out from here, and we have to know something of the spiritual world. And then if people are living in harmony with God's laws and nature, then it really reduces all the miseries to a great extent. And if someone is completely transcendental, they won't even notice, you know, they won't feel any pain. But everyone, you know, there are happy people everywhere, and if you examine them, most of them are very, like, more God-conscious people. You know, they understand, okay, God's will, something went wrong, but it's no big deal.
Mm.
Right? Maybe something will happen good later. They don't. So the knowledge of God and, you know, just becoming aware, that's the solution. No other solution. There's no material solution. If, you know, like you say, America, you get this news, but still, why does everyone want to go there? Because they think if they go to America, it's true. You know, if you're from Nigeria and you go to America, you can get a job washing dishes or something, and you can buy a car right away. You can get a pretty nice house, you know, right? You can drive around, buy some nice clothes, you can borrow money. All you have to have is a job.
Mm.
So people think, wow, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that great. You know, those things won't make you happy either. When the car breaks down, or somebody's going to steal your car, you know, you have to have huge insurance on the car. But the only happiness is within. You know, it's not external things are not going to make anybody happy. Any arrangement.
So
some people are in a material condition which is, looks like you can't believe how bad it is, and they'll be saying, "Oh, God is so kind. Everything is great." Another person is living in a, you know, with unlimited billions of dollars and just crying all the time about how unhappy.
So what can
you
say about Bali?
About what?
About Bali and its activities.
Bali?
Yeah.
Well, he's somehow or other being used by Krishna to do a lot of really nice activities here. You know, to make people more and more aware of Krishna. You know, he's been aware for a long time, and he's been thinking for a long time how he could do something to help others. So now it's all manifesting. So we try to encourage him, and we try to pray that he can carry on, because he's doing a good job. And, you know, we need more people to do these kind of things. Use their background and their training and even the family, you know, to use it in a good purpose. Very good. Right? What do you think?
Jim Gray. Good job.
And,
so, what are your names now?
Huh?
Your name?
My name? You wrote it down. Ravi Chandra. You should always put the H when you write it, because otherwise they don't
yeah.
know that system. Most people don't know that system. That's a scholastic academic system.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hindi they
always Kavi
Chandra.
Chandra.
His Holiness Kavi Chandra Swami.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness.
Okay. Prior to you becoming Kavi Chandra.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My name?
Yeah,
on the passport, still there.
Oh, very good. Then
I never changed it.
So what is it?
It was ALM was the family name.
ALM.
ALM. Family name. My name was Gus. That's the name I was known by. My official name was James. So there was a lot of confusion when I was young. In school. No big famous family of America or anything. We have a few people from big famous families in America. From the Ford family.
Okay, from the Ford family.
grandson of Albert Ford, of Henry Ford, great grandson.
How does it feel coming from such a great family?
Huh?
How does it feel coming from a family with such great history behind it?
Me?
Yeah.
With what behind?
The Ford family is, at least, in America.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the great families from America.
They were a decent family.
Mm-hmm.
So they were lucky. They raised a child who, you know, dedicated his life to God. So they get a lot of credit.
Mm.
Even though they didn't want that particularly, they get the credit.
Mm.
That's how God's mercy works.
I think you mentioned God a lot.
Yeah, Krishna.
Mm.
So Krishna is the name
everything
for God.
Everything revolves around God.
Yeah. Everything comes from God. He creates everything, he maintains everything, creates, maintains, and annihilates everything.
Without him, nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. So we're just trying to dedicate life to serving God, because that's our real business. Everyone's serving somebody. The highest service is to God. And everyone should be connected and aware like that.
He's my brother.
So if we understand that everything belongs to God, for instance, then there won't be thieves. You won't steal something if you think this belongs to God. But if I think it belongs to him and he doesn't deserve it, then I should have it.
That's true.
So, you know, if everybody's very God conscious, and I think even in Nigeria and the villages, and not that long ago, it was pretty good, right? People had some consciousness all over the world. And in ancient times, when everybody was really God conscious, a thief was dealt with very quickly, but there were very few of them.
Mm.
But now, like, you know, people have no God consciousness, so they go to war in a minute. They do so many crazy things. So Bali is trying to do something here, and I'm praying he can do more and more.
Mm.
And then we can be part of it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good friends here, like we're going to Enugu, one professor, I don't know, you know, Stan, Dr. Stan Ani. He's got a nice university called the Thinking University, and he's training young people very nicely that how to think about things, you know, constructively, and, you know, make their life useful, and the students are very good, very happy. They're not just thinking how to get rich and get lots of girlfriends or something. Not the goal of life, you know. They're thinking of higher things, how to utilize their human life. Is that all right? Anything more? Yeah. You have a higher taste book?
I think I do, because I think I do.